Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
The FAI revealed this afternoon it has liabilities of more than €55 million. Football's governing body says they're unable to guarantee that they can continue as a going concern. I'm joined by Professor Niamh Brennan, who's Professor of Management at University College Dublin, and by Jonathan O'Brien, Sinn Féin spokesperson on transport, tourism and sport, and a member of the Oireachtas Committee on Sport. Niamh Brennan, you've been looking through the accounts this afternoon, a lot of shocking information emerging. But what is standing out for you this evening?
Well, the first thing that stood out for me was the auditor's report, because the type of report they give is so rare. And the report is a disclaimer of opinion. In other words, they are not willing to give an opinion on the financial statements. And the grounds that they are disclaiming their opinion are twofold. Firstly, going concern. And the auditors say that the FAI have not given the auditors evidence that it is a going concern. And the normal evidence in that situation is that you provide a cash flow statement from the date the financial statements were signed by the directors, which is today, they just did it today, for a further 12 months. But the annual report reveals that since the year end, the organisation has suffered negative cash flow. So in fact, it's getting worse. So the directors have prepared the financial statements following a going concern assumption, and the auditors are disclaiming an opinion on that.
And the auditors here being Deloitte.
Correct. And the second reason for their disclaimer of opinion is in relation to undisclosed transactions. And I suppose they're still not certain that they have got all the information they believe they need to carry out the audit.
What are some of those undisclosed transactions that have emerged today?
Well, we know about some of them. Some of them relate, for example, to the former chief executive's remuneration arrangements. Mm-hmm. One that came out, hopped out, it's right in the last page of the financial statements, was an agreement with the sponsor. They didn't name the sponsor, but I presume, given yesterday's news, it's three. So they had an agreement with the sponsor for a 10-year sponsorship. But what was not given to the auditors was a related second agreement, which was an option. And the option gave the sponsor the option to terminate the agreement at any time. And on top of that, to get any money that they had given the FAI to get it back.
And the auditors were not given that information.
The auditors didn't know about the option. And what they say is that they recorded the sponsorship money as revenue. But because the option allowed the sponsor to get that money back, the auditors are saying that under accounting standards, that was not appropriate.
I don't know about sponsorship deals and how they're structured. Would that be normal procedure?
I wouldn't be an expert on that. But I think that having side agreements like that, which, I mean, there was a lot of that went on during the Celtic Tiger between property developers, for example, side agreements. But side agreements make me nervous. Mm. I don't think it's a good idea to have them. And it's certainly, this shows why they're a bad idea, that the auditors knew about the sponsorship agreement but did not know about the other agreement, the option agreement. Another thing, Mary...
Can I ask you this first, Niamh, before you move on there? A lot of attention is going to focus now on the 462,000 payoff to John Delaney. But is that a contractual obligation? That they probably had to do.
Actually, I think the contractual obligation was much, much bigger than that.
The 3 million.
Well, it was two million plus. Yeah. So in the 2018 financial statements, there is an accrual for remuneration of 2.1 million to the former chief executive. They ended up settling with him for 490, an awful lot less. And the settlement was 90,000 for compensation in lieu of office.
Yes,
and the second one was for the pension.
Okay.
Yeah. But to be honest, I mean, I think that's chicken feed, Mary, by comparison to the dire financial situation that we know about of this organisation. Its very existence is hanging by a thread, as I can see it, and it is so dependent on other people to help it out of this awful situation, and it's not clear that they will get the help they needed. But anyway, just to pick out a few other things that I thought were fascinating. The FAI was subject to a cyber attack in June. And as a result of that, they've had to invest significant sums in enhancement of IT and software and all the rest. And you just have a sense of the overheads of the organisation. It's in dire financial straits. And then the overheads are going through the roof because of cyber attacks, because of about three corporate governance investigations.
3.6 million in payments to experts, I suppose, to come in now to try and to forensically examine the mess.
Yeah, and this probably explains why the cash flow in 2019 has been negative cash flow, just making a dire financial situation even worse. So it's grim reading.
Can we come on to the board? Those comments from Donal Conroy, the outgoing president, you know, the board I was a member of as a collective did not do its job well enough. The board should have scrutinised more seriously than it did. And he feels responsible for not having discharged that responsibility to a higher standard. What would you say to that?
I kind of think his comments are self-evident. It's obvious that the board did a very poor job. Now, being a non-executive director on a board is not an easy job at all, Mary. And to do the job well, you actually have to look around corners, ask awkward questions, you know, trust but verify. And the tendency to do that doesn't necessarily make you attractive to a board. So, you know, when you look at some board, you see people on the board and you'd say to yourself, that person would never ask a hard question. And then you say, I wonder if that's why they got on the board in the first place. So, you know, the composition of a board is not a random event. Mm. People are handpicked for certain reasons.
And it would appear that in Mr. Conroy's case, back in 2014, I think, he didn't have eyes on certain events at board level. He said he wasn't aware of them. As a board member, as a director on a board, should you be party to all decisions being made around the table of a board?
Well, the answer is yes, but that doesn't mean you are party, because if people decide to withhold information from you, just as with the auditors, you're not able to execute your job properly if you are not being told what's going on. Mm. So Mr. Conway may not have been told what was going on, but you have to ask yourself, well, why did he hang around in that situation? Why did he take the risks of being a board member and not knowing what was going on? Mm. And I also wonder whether he, and I don't know, and this is speculation, but, you know, to what extent did board members turn a blind eye?
A question to be asked of them, I suppose, as to whether they did or they did not. Jonathan O'Brien is with us as well. And Jonathan O'Brien, you're on the Oireachtas Sports Committee. You're a grassroots football supporter. Are these accounts and what you're hearing today as bad as you thought they were going to be?
They're probably worse than anyone had expected, to be honest. I mean, we knew we were looking at massive debts, but the accounts which were published today just leaked so much. It's hard to believe that we're in a position where we're in debt in excess of 55 million. It's just hard to get our heads around that. Given the fact that John Delaney, the former CEO, had said recently that the FBI could be in a position to be debt-free in 2021.
Yes.
It's just unbelievable that we are now finding ourselves in this position. And I feel very sorry for the ordinary employee of the FBI who have had their wages cut since 2012, who haven't had pay restoration, who are working extremely hard to keep this organisation afloat. And because of mismanagement, gross mismanagement and negligence at the senior level, are now facing the prospect are possibly losing their jobs, and we have to be very conscious of those individuals today.
The FAI, I think, said today they're surviving now on money from UEFA. Have we any idea how much?
We don't. They are literally on a lifeline now from UEFA. And I think the most telling statement within the accounts today, and I would agree with Niamh in her analysis of this, is the fact that the auditors are unable to say whether the FAI is a going concern. A lot will depend on whether they can restructure their funding into the future, and that remains to be seen. I would not be hopeful, but to be in a position where we are today is really mind-boggling.
They spoke, Jonathan, about financial restructuring this afternoon and maybe, you know, remortgaging that share they have in the Aviva Stadium. But have we any idea, even if they can do that?
We don't know if they can do that. Even if they can do it, it's very hard to see that amount of restructuring being able to meet their ongoing liabilities. And I think that is a real concern now for every sports fan, not just football fans, but to be in a position where they have to restructure loans to see if they can even be viable into the future. It is a very, very bleak day for Irish sport.
Is it clear, Niamh, from the accounts how much that share in the Aviva is worth?
Well, there's a note in the financial statements that they have financial assets of approximately 24 million, and that 24 million represents the FAI's interest in a joint venture company with the IRFU. And I have to say, they would have a joint venture agreement, and I'm kind of saying to myself, how can the FAI go out and say they're going to remortgage on the basis of that asset? Because I would expect that the joint venture agreement is tight enough that one joint venture party can't just go out willy-nilly and say, I'm mortgaging my share of the asset. So I just think that that statement needs to be drilled down a bit more.
More clarity. In other words, the IRFU could have more than a say in what the FAI could do with its...
Well, I'd say the joint venture agreement requires both parties to agree to a whole lot of different things.
And Jonathan, we were talking about their loss of the Three Mobile sponsor as well. Where are they going to get money now into this organisation? Does it all hinge now, or does a huge amount hinge on qualification for the Euros next year?
Obviously, the men's senior team is an integral part of funding streams into the future. But right now, we know that UEFA are pretty much bankrolling the FAI to keep it afloat. How sustainable that is, we don't know. There's going to have to be a new commercial sponsor. But who in their right mind would pay the money that Three were paying to be the main shirt sponsor for the national team for representing an organisation which we don't even know is going to exist in 12 months' time? It's going to be very, very difficult to find main sponsors.
There are just under 200 staff working at the FAI headquarters, and this news on the financial liabilities and the warnings from the board today will come as not a shock, I suppose, but a huge difficulty for the workers there. Dennis Hines is the SIP2 sports sector organiser, and he joins us as well. Dennis, were you expecting this?
Well, I suppose, to be fair, we were in some respects. At the same time, you know, up to now, it's been kind of a lot of ifs and buts. The staff of the association have been reading reports that in media and hearing things that there's possibilities of this kind of debts that are outstanding. But I suppose it didn't really hit home until today, until the announcement was made. And earlier in the week, they were made aware by Donal Conway that once the financial statements were going to be announced, that there would be consequences in the new year. So I suppose that's the first time really that the fear came in. Because if you look back, this time last year, we were hearing from the former CEO that the association was going to be debt-free within 2 years. And there was a lot of optimism within the staff. And about, you know, we talked about... how can we improve on pensions? How can we improve on pay? And now suddenly we're talking about, hopefully we're not looking at a scenario where we circle the wagon.
Well, Dennis, when are you going to get clarity? Is there a meeting going to take place with board representatives?
Yeah, well, we certainly have to now look for a meeting as soon as possible with the association. We've also started a meeting with the minister, which we're waiting on a response from him as well, Shane Ross, because this is not a time now for populism. This is a time now for heads to be getting together and trying to sort out the situation and try to do what's very important for 200 staff members who tonight are sitting at home with their families, anxious to know what the new year is going to bring. It's a desperate time coming in on the run into Christmas. Desperate time any time, but on the run into Christmas, it makes it even worse.
Dennis, thank you very much. Dennis Hines there from SIPTU. What now, Niamh, for the FAI board? They're going to bring in some new blood, four new directors. Will that make a difference?
Well, as I see it, absolutely critical is funding. Nothing else actually counts at all. It doesn't really matter who's on the board or anything like that. So I think the negotiation with the bankers. But of course, this withdrawal of the sponsor yesterday is going to make the FA even less attractive from the bankers' point of view, and they're going to have to make a judgment as to how long they support the organisation. But at a certain point, banks do get pushed into a corner such that they pulled the plug.
Uncertainty about qualification for the Euros and the pot of money that would bring. But we don't know that that's going to happen.
Well, I kind of think one of the things that strikes me about all of this is the kind of, first of all, being in denial for so long about how dire things were. Dennis Hines kind of said that the staff only in the last day or two got this sense that we're in a dire situation. So there's a certain kind of denial about what's going on. And in addition, wishful thinking. So, you know, wishfully thinking that maybe next year, if we do well in this competition or that competition, we're going to get more money. But that's what's got the organisation into its difficulties.
Niamh Brennan, thank you very much. Professor of Management at University College Dublin. Sinn Féin's Jonathan O'Brien, thank you as well for joining us.